Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, we continue in our study of 1 John, and we're taking a look at the last verse of chapter 2. So I'll begin today by reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Last time, we thought about how the Apostle John encouraged his readers by assuring them that at the moment of the physical return of Christ, those who were found to be abiding in Christ, abiding in the Word of Christ, could be confident that they would be gladly received by the Lord Jesus. Now, in verse 29, John points us to the outward, visible test for determining if we can expect to be received by God. John offers the one evidence to determine whether or not a person is truly born again, born of the Spirit. And that test, that proof, is righteous living. John writes, quote, "You may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of God." That's the observable litmus test of the true Christian, righteous living, practicing righteousness. God, of course, is perfect in all ways, so Jesus Christ embodies moral and ethical perfection. The right standard for moral and ethical perfection is God Himself. The character of God is revealed in the law of God. The character of God is revealed in the Son of God. And the character of God is revealed in the gospel of God. Now, this is an interesting point. How do we, as sin-laden human beings, know what is right and what is good? Is it one person's determination? Is it one group's agreed-upon determination? Or is right and wrong somehow determined collectively as a society, collectively decided by a society of sin-laden human beings? We all have a sense of right and wrong. That's a feature of the human experience. But our personal and collective sense of what's right and what's wrong can differ. And in those times of difference, where do we look for the absolute standard of what's morally and ethically right? What is the standard for claiming that something is righteous? Well, that right and perfect standard for our claims of right and wrong is the character of God, as revealed in the Son of God, and as revealed in the Word of God. Now, this is another wonderful quality of the God of the Bible. God surely knows that we, as uniquely created human beings, will differ in our opinions about what is morally right and what is morally wrong. It's inevitable. Often, those opinions are shaped by family tradition, cultural norms, expectations in the wider society, and personal preferences. But how can uniquely created human beings ever hope to reach some kind of agreement on what is right and what is wrong? The answer? We look to God, our perfect standard of righteousness. As you know, God has created each of us with a conscience which serves as our internal guide for right and wrong. And our conscience is God-given and God-shaped. Everyone has a conscience. Conscience is a God-given capacity for human beings to make self-evaluations of right and wrong. And the human conscience is informed by a person's individual value system. The human conscience is a built-in warning system that sounds the internal alarm when something we have done is wrong. The conscience is an internal alarm. It inflicts distress in the form of guilt when we violate what our heart tells us is right and good. An immature or weak value system produces a weak conscience, while a fully informed value system produces a strong sense of right and wrong. A person's conscience can be driven by inadequate understandings of truth, which in turn can produce feelings of guilt and shame. In the Christian worldview, the conscience is strengthened as a person comes to know Christ, matures in their faith, and grows in understanding biblical truth. A person's conscience is trustworthy only to the extent that it's informed and governed by God. But in our personal efforts to determine what is right and what is wrong, there's one enormous problem. We have the personal sin problem that resides in the heart of each person, and sin tirelessly works to distort our thinking, and it tirelessly works to distort our own conscience. So God, in His great love and compassion, makes it possible for us to look outside of ourselves to observe moral and ethical perfection. God makes it possible to look outside of ourselves to gain insight on what is right and what is wrong. God wants us to give attention to our own God-shaped conscience, that's for sure. But at the same time, God also makes Himself available so that we might have an external source of truth. Okay, God makes Himself available to be known, and God does this in a very concrete and practical way. God reveals Himself, His character, His will, His purposes, and His priorities. God reveals Himself in the written Word of God, in the pages of the Bible. God reveals Himself through the inspired Word of God. And this is so very compassionate of God. God gives us a common standard, Himself. All kinds of people, from all kinds of backgrounds, from all kinds of cultures, can look in one place to study, think upon, and observe the character of God. We're not reliant upon the mystical opinions of others. We can do our own research. We can study the Bible. We can meditate on what we've studied. We can pray. And we can interact with other believers about what we're learning. We can do all this and come to know the character of God. God wants Himself to be known, and we can know God. And knowing God informs our understandings about godly righteousness. Knowing God informs our understandings about what is right and what is wrong. All right, let's think about the word righteousness. In the Bible, righteousness is a word that refers to being proper or being right in the sense of being fully in alignment with what God requires. Righteousness means being right in the sight of God. The righteousness that's commended in Scripture and the righteousness that the Apostle John is referring to is not some sort of rigid good behavior requirement that's brought about merely by human self-determination. John's referring to Holy Spirit-enabled righteousness. In practical daily living, righteousness means to do what is right in relation to God and in relation to people. Righteous acts initiated and carried out in our own fleshly energy and calculated to impress others does not impress God. Righteousness before men to be noticed by them is self-righteousness. True righteousness, the righteousness that God accepts, is God's character reproduced by His Spirit in and through His redeemed people. Okay. God is perfectly righteous, and God's character is that standard for all that is truly good. God's character is the standard for all that is truly righteous in the eyes of God. And it's the Spirit of God who produces this righteousness in the lives of believers. This verse, verse 29, begins John's long discussion on the connection between knowing God and practicing righteousness. This connection provides the basis for making distinctions between those who are truly the spiritual children of God and those whose allegiances lie elsewhere. Remember that in the context of 1 John, there is a conflict between believers and the Antichrist heretics. This prompts John to lay out the distinguishing, outwardly visible mark of true believers. According to the Apostle John, the practice of righteousness marks the person who has actually experienced the new birth. Personal righteousness is a reflection of the righteousness of God. People who practice righteousness are the people who actually know God. True, godly righteousness comes from God and is passed on to God's spiritual children. It's a family trait. Righteousness is a family characteristic. This righteousness is evidence of the new birth, but it's not a means of the new birth. It's the fruit of the new birth. It's not the cause of the new birth. No one can earn the new birth by righteous behavior. righteous behavior is evidence or fruit that testifies to the validity of the new birth. In the biblical worldview, to be righteous is the equivalent of being holy. Being righteous, being holy, means doing the will of God, obeying the commands of God, loving God, and loving our neighbor. In short, righteousness is enabled by the Spirit of God, so that the love and joy of God may be made visible to a confused, hurting, and sin-saturated world. Next time, we'll continue thinking about the word righteousness and what it means for the children of God to practice righteousness. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.